Our scripture is Psalm 130. Please follow along now as I read God's word. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Blessed is the one who reads aloud these words. Well, we're in the midst of a mini-series which Pastor Josh began in June. It's a series that deals with the Psalms that find themselves in the Bible between Psalm 120 and 134, referred to as the Psalms of Ascents. You can see that in your Bibles, that heading that's given to them. More than likely, these were the songs that the Israelites, the pilgrims of God would sing with one another as they wend their way along those dusty highways on their way up the hillside to Jerusalem. They're psalms that are filled with all sorts of emotions. There's lament. There's sadness, there's joy, thanksgiving, celebration. It sort of covers the gamut. We can find all of this in these particular Psalms of Ascents. Here in Psalm 130, we're looking at how faith in the Lord helps us in the midst of trial. How faith helps us in the midst of trial. I've divided it into four parts, each with two verses. The first two verses deal with the plea of faith. Then, as you can see in your outline, the assurance of faith, the posture of faith, and the invitation of faith. Now, I believe that in God's providence, he's led us to this psalm on this day. As we deal with our own heart and its varying emotions and response that we have to the possibility of Pastor Josh, our beloved pastor, considering a call to another church in California. I know from talking to you that the emotions at times are raw, and you've had them sort of all over the map, different thoughts and feelings, and how you're responding to this possibility. I think you'll find that this psalm to be of great comfort, because as we face our trial of dealing with the possible loss of our senior pastor, so we think of the psalmist as he cries out to God, dealing with whatever the trial is that he is dealing with. But it's real and it's strong. And the emotion is there just as the emotion that you yourself have felt in these last couple of weeks. So come with me. Let's take it apart. Let's see how the psalmist responded. Let's try to understand that and the application to our own lives in this hour of the life of King of Kings Church. First, then, is the plea of faith in verses 1 and 2. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. The plea of the faith of the psalmist is very direct. It's a cry to the Lord. It's a turning to the Lord. Explicitly, he says, O Lord, hear my voice. I am crying to you. I remember when I was little, and I think it's one of the first memories I have. My family would go for a week to the Jersey Shore. And I remember my dad, I think I was about 4 or 5, as I recall this memory, would like to take me to China. That's what he called it. He'd snatch me up in his arms and we'd go out into the ocean and ride the waves together. I remember how scary it was and how I clung to my father, just hugged his neck, as it were. And I think that's the picture I get when I see the psalmist here. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. I'm not turning to anyone else. And that's the implicit side of these two verses here. Explicitly, in the midst of trial, the psalmist knew where to direct his heart, and it was to the Lord. Implicitly, we just turn it inside out, and he said, I will not trust in myself. I won't turn inward. I will deny myself, take up my cross, and follow the Lord. The one side is to trust in the Lord. The other side is to turn from any temptation to trust in oneself in a time of trial. This is not easy to do. The psalmist, I think, is very open and with his emotions, and yet he directed himself and he directs us where to turn in the time of trial. Verses 3 and 4 give us the interesting assurance of faith. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. As you look at the transition from the first two verses to these two verses, sort of awkward in its nature, how we would move from one to the other. And yet I think as we look at this, we find that there is an argument from the greater to the lesser. See, the psalmist says things concerning his own sinfulness. And he realizes that he was born, he was conceived in sin, he was born in sin. He recognized that, as he says here, if you are to mark iniquities, who could stand? Is that not true of every one of us? We are dead in our trespasses and sins naturally. There's none that can stand before God and say, I have deserved eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. We recognize that we are poor, wretched before the Lord as we stand on our own, in need of His forgiveness, in need of His grace. And so the psalmist, as he acknowledges his own sin, acknowledges also the forgiveness of the Lord. For with you there is forgiveness. That's why I use this as a pardon this morning to the confession of our own sin. What assurance comes from this? The psalmist recognizes two things. He recognizes he's a great sinner, and he recognizes that God is a great Savior. John Newton, of course, was the one who spoke those words as he approached the end of his own life. It's where the psalmist is. And as I see this, this is the argument from the greater to the lesser. In Romans 8:32, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, says, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If God has given us his son, the greatest gift in the world, will he not give us whatever else we need as we wend our way onward to glory? Of course, the answer is yes. He's given us the best. And I think that is exactly what the psalmist is saying here. I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm crying out to him in my time of trial. And this I know, that he who heard my cry because of my own sin and has forgiven me and given me that assurance that I am forgiven, I can now in the midst of the trial that I'm facing. God is faithful. He is good. He will not give us more than we can bear. So you have the plea of faith here in the midst of his trial. You have the assurance of faith in verses 3 and 4. And then we move to verses 5 and 6, what I refer to as the posture of faith. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. His posture is he's leaning into the Lord with all that he has. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty that leads him to cry out to the Lord, he acknowledges, you're my hope. You're the one in whom I am trusting. I am waiting for you as the watchman waits for the morning. And the watchman waits for the morning with anticipation and assurance. He doesn't say, oh, I hope the sun comes up and I'll just hang around. No, he waits with expectation. And the psalmist is saying, this is the posture that I'm taking. In the midst of the trial, I am turning to the Lord. I am going to trust in him with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. I am going to wait for the Lord because I expect him to provide for me as his child. I expect him to meet my needs as he has promised. He has covenanted to be my God and to make me his child. I can trust him through whatever the difficulty is that may approach me. But not only will I wait for the Lord, I will hope in his word. I love that word hope. it means a little bit different thought than the way in which we use it commonly today. In Scripture, the word hope means assurance. When the psalmist says here, "My soul waits for the Lord, and in His word I hope." He's not saying, "Oh, I hope it comes true. Knock on wood, cross my fingers, all of that stuff." No, not at all. When he says, "I'm hoping in the word," it means I have assurance that this word is true and by it I will be sanctified. I think of what we're told in Scripture. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me is my, not just wishing that it's going to make a difference to get me to heaven. No, Christ in me is my hope, my assurance of glory. He has redeemed me. He has come and set up home in me. His Holy Spirit is there, leading and guiding me in the paths of righteousness. The posture of faith is waiting on the Lord and hoping in His word, having assurance in His word. I like what Peter said when Jesus said, "Are you also going to leave me?" And he looks at the Lord, bewildered, and says, "Where else can I go? You alone have the words of eternal life." And that's really what the psalmist is resting in as well. He understands as he considers this situation that my soul waits for the Lord and my hope is in His word. And then he moves on. He moves from sort of the testimony that he's given in the first six verses to his extension of an invitation to those around him. We see this in verse 7 and 8. "O Israel," and that's you, God's Israel, God's people. "O Israel, hope in the Lord." Remember, that's not wishful thinking. Hope in the Lord. Place your assurance in the Lord in this hour, in this minute. "For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Hope. Place your assurance in the Lord's steadfast love. He's loved you with an everlasting love. King of Kings, do you know that? You who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, will anything be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Anchor yourself in truths in the midst of trial. I look at Bill Willisford and I think of early on when he got the news of the cancer that he had. By the way, we're rejoicing in the good news that you shared with us, but when he, I remember him sharing verses of Scripture with me that he was trusting in. That's exactly where the psalmist, his steadfast love of the Lord, knowing that the one who has loved him with an everlasting love is never going to leave him nor forsake him. Hope in the Lord's steadfast love. Hope in God's plentiful redemption. As one commentator put it, the psalmist recognizes that the Lord is a God who will redeem his people from all their basic ills. On this positive note of hope, the psalmist rests his case. Which brings me to some final thoughts, some concluding things for us to keep in mind. The psalmist and the Israelites are going through some ordeal, some trial that leads to this cry to the Lord. It's a cry of living, saving faith. It is the same faith that he exercises in this psalm that God has given to you. He bids you to come and trust in him, to lean upon him, to walk by faith and not by sight. It is this same faith that's going to enable you and me to rise above the feelings of disappointment, the feelings of grief, feelings of sorrow, the feelings, yes, of fear. I've heard all of these emotions expressed, and I think these are normal emotions that we will experience, but we don't remain there. We rise above them in the arms of faith. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's taking his disappointment, he's taking his trial, he's taking his fear and placing it in the light of God and his very great and precious promises. It is this same faith that helps us to embrace the trial with confidence that he is leading Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Orange County. That he is leading Pastor Josh and Mel. That he is leading King of Kings Church in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It will be this same living faith that's going to help us encourage one another and say to one another what God's people said to one another as they made their way up the mountainous road on their way to Jerusalem. O people of God, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. And with the Lord, there is plentiful redemption. That's good news. To God be the glory. Great things he has done and is doing and will do. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to pray. Our Father, we find ourselves with these varying emotions, We're thankful for Psalm 130, for what we see here, what we're reminded of, that gives us confidence in you, that encourages us to run the race with our eyes set upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray that you would be our strength, that we would know that strength in our times of weakness. Help us, Lord, to stay focused upon you and your wonderful word and promises to us, that you have been and will continue to be at work through us to will and to do of your good pleasure, to your glory and honor, through Jesus Christ. Amen.